I'll say this. I believe that a lack of love is the easiest thing in all the world to spot. If you don't have love for the brethren, just about everybody knows it but you, as a general rule. It doesn't take long for somebody to find out, just a few minutes really, if you'll open your mouth. And sometimes you don't even have to do that. It just takes a few minutes before somebody knows if you've got the love of Jesus in your heart. It doesn't take long. It just sticks out whether you do or whether you don't. And I believe that there is nothing that can transform the Christian saint faster than God's love operating within his heart. Really now. And if we are not changed from glory to glory and from grace to grace, it's primarily because we're not growing in the love of Jesus. We may be growing in doctrine, we may be growing in labors, but if we're not growing in love, I'll guarantee you your life is not going to change very much. Everybody needs a goal. And of all the goals that a Christian should have, the ultimate goal is not to have money, not to have wisdom, not to be able to work miracles, not to be able to prophesy, not to be able to have faith that can move mountains, but the greatest goal of all is to have the love of Christ operating in his life. And brethren, if it's not operating in your life, what makes you convinced you have it? Now let's be honest about it. So, oh, I have the love of Jesus. If you have it, where is it? The love of Jesus was the one thing about him that stood out in all of its radiant beauty. If you have that same love of Jesus, let me see it. You don't have to tell me about it. It's got to shine forth. And when Jesus said, let your light so shine, I believe he's talking about the light of heavenly love. That's what I think he's talking about. And the Bible says it's by love for the brethren that all men shall know that you belong to Jesus. I said it's by love of the brethren, not by your doctrinal statement, not by the songs you sing, not by the miracles you work, and not by the way you dress, but it's by the love you have for the brethren. The world knows you belong to Jesus. Now in 1 Corinthians 13, which is called the love chapter of the Bible, Paul gives a description of what love should be like, or what love contains. And we're not going to go through the entire list of things he brings out, but I am going to look at you at verse 7. Love bears all things, love believes all things, and then here's the one I want to dwell on tonight. Three words. Love hopes all things. And that's all I want to talk about tonight. That aspect of love. Love hopes. Did you know that it's love that is full of optimism? When a Christian lacks optimism, he lacks love. Because love is optimistic. Love is full of encouragement. Love is filled with all sorts of tremendous ideas. Love is able to paint pictures of bright colors. For love is really optimistic. And I'll talk about painting pictures in a few minutes. Because you see, love is what encourages people to go on. Love is what encourages a marriage to stay together. It's the most encouraging thing to a child when the parents love it. The most discouraging thing when the parents don't love it. So you see, love encourages things to continue on and on and on. They even say cow gives more milk if it's contented, if it's loved. I don't know. But everything else works better if love's around it. And we'll tell a story in a few minutes whether you believe it or not. I don't know. I even have my doubts about it, but we'll tell it anyway. But I believe love is what encourages the lost sinner to begin to have hope that all is not lost and that he doesn't have to go to hell. It's to love Jesus, not the shock of hell, that really is encouraging. Because when he sees the love of Christ on the cross, he says, there's hope for even a person such as I. Now, somebody believes in you, and somebody roots for you, and somebody will cheer you on, it makes any job a lot easier.
It makes it a lot lighter. And it makes the obstacles easier to deal with. If we know somebody cares about us and stands behind us and sympathizes with us and will understand us, if we have somebody like that with us on our side, things aren't quite as bad. All else seems to fail and you feel like your head is beginning to droop in discouragement, go out and find your brother that's got some love. Because I believe the only thing that's going to perk you back up is love. You've got to be re-encouraged. You've got to have your spirits perked up again. And it's going to require love to do it. And nothing else can encourage you. Because you see, love faces all the odds and says, "Brother, onward." That's love. Onward. No buts. Onward. That's love. And love considers all the setbacks and sings, "Victory in Jesus." Now that's love. I believe it was the love of the Father that enabled Jesus to march up Calvary's hill. And the Father said, "Son, don't get discouraged. You can make it. You can stand it. You can bear it. I love you. I'm with you. It's going to come out all right. I love you." And I believe Jesus focused His attention on the love the Father had for Him. I really do. As you and I focus our attention on the love Jesus had for us, He focused His attention on the love that His Father had for Him. Because that love, brethren, was going to either let Him go or pull Him out. And He trusted His Father. And He went through it because there was love undergirding. Love hopeth. And His hope was built in that. Love is supercharged with all kinds of energy. You never saw a lazy lover. You never saw a lazy kiss. You either enthused or you're not, you know. And real love is supercharged with energy. Now the body of the brother may grow tired and the mind of the brother may grow weary. But I believe it's the love of the brother that keeps within us the fighting spirit of going on when we are tired. And when we are dragging in our foot traps. Because you see, love is committed to accomplishments. Love is committed to seeing you crowned. Love is committed to hearing Jesus say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Love is committed to you gaining a victory. That's love. That's what it wants. It doesn't care about itself. It cares about you. And love is not jealous when you win. Love wants you to win. Love's in the grandstand cheering you on. It wants you to make the touchdown. And when you do, it says, "I told you you could do it. I've been rooting for you the whole time. I'm for you all the way. I knew you'd make it." And then there's a rejoicing together because there was victory together. I never stopped believing in you. You stopped believing, but I didn't. Now that's what love does. Love keeps saying to the brother, "The job can be done. The race can be won. I know it can. And you can do it. You can do it. My love for you knows you can do it." Now, brother, it's hard to deny that kind of love. You'll go out and try again. Because somebody's believing in you. Somebody thinks that you can do it. Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." You know what I thought when I read this? Peter could have said, "Well, how can you be so sure, Jesus?" Now, there's something about this. "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men." How do you know you're going to succeed? Jesus said, "Because I love you. I love you enough that I'm going to see the job through. You'll be a fisher of men. I know you will." How do you know? "Because I love you. And I believe you can do it." Peter said, "Well, I'm not able." Jesus said, "I know you can do it. Because my love believes in you." Well, now that's sort of, I believe, encouraged old Peter. Well, maybe I can do it, you know. That's the way love works. Now, I think at times, and this is true in my own personal life, Jesus said, "Follow me, Billy." And I said, "What's the use? What's the use? It won't do any good. I mean, I've tried before. It won't be long until you done taken off and left me. I was sitting back in the ditch somewhere." You know, I can't make the grade. Now, a lot of you can say, but don't you feel the same way? But you know, I've never yet found the love of Jesus to let me go and to let me give up. And he comes back and he says, Billy, I love you. And I say, well, it don't do any good. I don't blame you if you just go off and forget me. You know, I'm just one of those hopeless cases. But he says, I love you. Follow me. Launch out again into the deep. Let's go. You know, and he doesn't come back, and I don't think he's reminding me of my failures and me being down the dump and you failed me. And he doesn't keep saying, he's, come on, Billy, you can make it. You can make it. Why? Because I love you, that's why. I can do it through you and with you and for you. I'll help you. You can make it. Don't say you can't. You can.
Of course, I'm hard to convince, brethren.
I'm really hard. And you know, I have found, as I look back in my life, the thought that God, having the foreknowledge knowing of all my faults and all my failures and all the times that I didn't do what I should have done, and I stopped thinking, I said, God, why on earth did you pick me to be a minister? That was a blunder. I just can't figure this. And yet, in my amazement, God, knowing all this, he still picked me. Which is a comforting thought. That to me has to be because of love. There is no other reason. You know, just cannot be any other reason. His love for me. And sometimes I feel like this is the only reason I'll get up and write a sermon. The only reason I'll get up and make a visit. The only reason I'll get up to the will of God. Because he loves me. And just got to do it. And sometimes all I have to go on to get a job done is the love of Christ. It just constrains me. And I have nothing else to go on. I have no other initiative, no other drive. I'm down the dumps that low. And all I'm reminded of is that Jesus still loves me. In spite of myself. And he says, Billy, you can still launch out in the deep. Now, brother, he says to all of us. And that's what love does. It says we can go it again. And we can go it again. You see, love's hope, Christ's hope in you and in me, is not destroyed by setbacks and by failures and by slips and stumbles. Because love believes against all odds it's going to see the victory. Jesus never doubts he's going to see us win time and again. Because love keeps looking for the best in us. It keeps believing the sun is going to shine upon us. It just keeps on believing it. That's love. And never loses that vision. Love paints the vision of victory. Love never sarcastic. Love never belittles. Never puts one down. Love thinks more highly of you than you think of yourself. Really. It applauds when there's nothing to applaud about but the fact that Jesus just loves you. Now that kind of love, brethren, is worth having around you, whether in your family or in your friends. I think at one time or another, everybody asks the question, what kind of person am I in comparison to other people? What kind of person am I? And I think usually the question is asked very small age or very early in life, whether we ask it in those words, I'm not sure, but the thought comes up. And through the years, the child listens to the answers from friends and from acquaintances and from enemies and parents and relatives and observation and conversation. He listens and he gets his answer. He gets his answer. And by the age of 13, he's pretty well convinced of the kind of person he is, solely based upon what somebody said about him. He's either smart or dumb. Long before he gets to school. Long before he takes his aptitude test. Long before he begins to make his grades in school. He's already convinced he's either smart or dumb. If Daddy has, out of love, said, you the dumbest kid I ever saw. He got the message. And that registers. But love didn't tell him that. No. A child knows whether he's fast or slow. A child knows whether he's gifted or lacking. Whether he's acceptable or unacceptable. Whether he's pretty, whether he's ugly. Whether he's pleasant company or whether he's always in the way. Whether he's lovable or whether he's repulsive. All these things are settled early in life. And they're all settled as a general rule with no love whatsoever as the basis behind them. And this concept a 13-year-old child has dominates him for the rest of his entire life. And I believe it's only love, divine love, that can break down the barriers that have been erected in that child's mind who now becomes an adult. Some children say, I've been led to believe I can't do anything right. That's the way it seems. You just can't do anything right. But love rejects that and says, I believe you can do things right. I believe in you. And you quit talking that way. Now that's love. Love is encouraging. Love has a different vision than we have of our own selves. And you see, love hopes when there is no reason to hope. It hopes not in what is seen, but it hopes in what the transforming power of Christ can do to that person. Love does not harp on a person's shortcomings, but it envisions heaven's outpourings upon the person. And this is where you have the healing, I said the healing power of love. Children's personalities, people's personalities can be changed, drastically changed by love. And we as God's children are God's channels for sending out this transforming love to our brothers. We're God's channels. There is a tremendous power in love to change people. I don't believe we understand the power of love. It's the most powerful thing on this face of this earth besides Jesus. But you see, God is love. So we're talking about God right here. But our love can generate, recharge, empower. So you see, our love is a reflection of the tremendous love of Christ. That's what it is. And we need to learn as Christians to channel this powerful force of love upon our brethren in their various needs. Now, I'm going to tell you some things tonight, and I'm going to ask you to try some experiments this week and see if it works for you. To begin with, I want you to learn to be a painter in your mind. And I want you to take a brother that you love. And I want you to paint a picture of that brother or that sister in the way you would like to see God's love make them. Now, I don't know what that picture will be, but I want you to paint the most beautiful picture in your mind you can paint. Of that brother or that sister, whatever their need might be. And I want you to paint a total picture of what God's love has done and will do and can do for that person. I don't know what it is, but I want you to paint that picture. Now, in other words, I want your love to create a beautiful scene in which the brother is. For he's tremendously blessed of God. And I want to see... And I want you to see if we can't bring to life this painted picture. Just through the power of love. A little girl one time was told that this can be done and said to try it. I'll tell you three stories and then I'll close. Well, her mother and her daddy were typical mother and daddy. They didn't have a great deal of time for her. They liked her and they said they loved her. But you know how mothers and daddies are. I guess you do. Anyway, a little girl thought in her mind a picture. And she pictured in her mind her mother and all of her beauty loving her. Loving her. And she pictured her mother at the nicest, sweetest disposition she had ever known. And she said to Jesus, I love my mother and I love the picture I have of my mother. And I know that's the picture that you would like to see my mother become. Now, Jesus, do it right now. and cause your love and my love to so flood my mother that she becomes what I see. Thank you, Jesus, for doing it. Then she turned to the image of her daddy. And she had an image of her daddy to the best she had ever known him. And she did the same thing with the father. She was in bed now and it was morning. And something happened real strange. And she was just shocked beyond me. Her mother came up, which was unusual. She put her arms around her and she kissed her and said, I love you. Boy, that was a real switch. And the girl was just aglow with happiness. But there was still Papa. And he was the real challenge, you know. Well, it wasn't long till Papa came up. He wasn't quite as affectionate. But he gave her some money and said, go out and buy yourself something today and have a good time. Now, the little girl said, it worked. It worked. Give the illustration now. And you may not believe this. I have a hard time doing it. There was an engineer crew out surveying a field. There was a bull in the field that went unnoticed for a while until the bull decided to charge. Well, the bull was charging the survey team. There were no trees, and there was no fence to climb. Now, the chief survey engineer stood there as the bull came charging. Now, you can believe this if you want to or not. And he said to himself, he said, Jesus, I love that bull. Now, wait a minute. And I picture in my mind the vision of the millennium when the lion and the lamb shall lay down together, and when the bear and the calf shall lay down together, and when the child shall lead the beast. And I want the love that will exist in the millennium to exist right now between me and this bull, and I want the love of God to flood that bull as he floods me. Now, do what you want to. The story goes that the bull stopped, shook his head, walked over and laid down under some trees. All during the day as that survey team worked and they moved from spot to spot, the bull would get up and follow in behind them like he liked their company. And then he would lay back down. I don't know if that's true, brother, or not. But maybe there is something to this. There's going to be love in the millennium between the animals and man. There was love in the garden between the animals and Adam before he sinned. Now, I don't rule it out. And we say that I love my animal. I believe animals love people. Now, how do you do that? I think dogs love their masters. Now, I don't know where you can do this every time, but I will go out and jump in the pen at the zoo out here with the lion. Say, now, Lord, I love that lion. You know, I wouldn't do that. But I'm saying if something like this comes up, what else you got to lose? This guy was going to glory anyway, you know. All right. Now the third experiment. This lady was told that she could bring a healing atmosphere upon her family by bringing into it the love and the power of love that she had for her family and that Jesus had for her family. So she had a vision. She heard a boy and a girl fussing in the other room. Just fussing up a storm. And normally she would holler out, you two kids, quit that fighting. That's what she was thinking. But she didn't do it this time. And she pictured in her mind her boy and her girl loving each other as they should. She pictured them being sweet in disposition, being friendly and cooperative. She pictured in her mind that this is what the love of Christ would like to produce upon her two children. And then she said, Jesus, bring about what I see in my vision. Cause your love and its power to change my boy and my girl in their squabbling mood and make them like my love and your love pictures them as they ought to be. Within 1 minute, the boy and the girl quit fussing. And you can say what you want to. I'll just tell you what the book says. And for the remainder of that day, they never fussed again. Now, you say, well, it worked. I don't know. But I'm asking tonight to try. Picture in your mind the vision of
what your love would like to see done for somebody. And if your love is Christ's love, it's exactly what His love wants done. Then you picture the love of God as the source and the power to bring about this miracle. And you ask Christ to bring down His love in such powerful force upon that person's life that it results in the image and the vision coming true as you picture. Try it. And I want to know next Sunday night in testimonies if it worked for any of you. Try it. I hope you understand what I'm talking about now. Picture anything. I don't care what it is. You can work it once, twice, three times a day, four times. Try it and see what will happen. You love them. Really love them now and want to see them change for the better, for their good, for their benefit. You picture what you want them to be. Then you picture Jesus wanting the same thing. You picture His love coming down in such a force that it overwhelms them. And then you thank Him. Then you thank Him for making it come true before it ever comes true. See what happens. I challenge you to try the power of love this week and see if what these people have been saying is true. I cannot verify. I do not know. But I will try. I'll let you know next week. I got a lot of people I can zero in on. I really, you know. And I don't see if the Lord can't love some of them back to church that haven't been here in months. I'm not going to call them. I'm not going to see them. I'm just going to love them and ask Jesus to love them to the point that they'll be drawn. And I'm going to envision them sitting here in the pew Sunday morning. Now, I want to do a couple of them that way. And I'll let you know. I'll let you know. And I want you to try. Zero in on any problem, anything, anybody you want to. Paint a picture of what you want. Ask the love of Christ to come in and make it possible. And thank Him for it. And let's see what happens.